1 Peter chapter 1, verse 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ, to those who reside as aliens, scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia, who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father, by the sanctifying work of the Spirit, to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled with His blood. May grace and peace be yours in the fullest measure. Would you pray with me? Father, as we introduce ourselves to this great work written years ago by Peter, Father, may our hearts be challenged and encouraged. Father, we thank You that not only have You given us Your Word, but You've given us the Holy Spirit to help us understand Your Word. And so, Father, this morning, as we pray often, Lord, we pray that Your Spirit would guide us in the truth of Your Word this morning. May we be encouraged by it, motivated by it, inspired by it, challenged by it this morning. In Jesus' name, amen. Well, like we always do when we start another adventure in another book of the Bible, we begin by an introduction. It's very important for us to know who wrote the book or the letter in this case. Who wrote the letter? Not only who wrote it, but what was the day like when he wrote it? What was the setting of this letter? Who were the recipients? Who received this letter? What was their life like? And then, why did he write this letter? What are some of the themes and purposes of this letter? And really, that will help us sort of jump in the deep end next week when we start going through verse by verse this wonderful letter written by Peter. And so we're going to begin this biblical masterpiece by looking at the author. Verse 1 of chapter 1 says, Peter, an apostle of Jesus Christ. Stop there. There's your answer. Who's the author? Well, he's Peter. He's an apostle of Jesus Christ. To some, this may just be a name of some person who wrote a letter a long time ago to some people somewhere. But to fully understand the wonderful depth and intention of this letter, we really need to know who exactly Peter was. We need to remember who this guy named Peter was. Now, the Apostle Peter was one of 12 disciples of Jesus. And along with James and John, he was seen in the inner circle of Jesus' discipleship ministry. He and James and John experienced things that the other disciples didn't experience. Jesus, most likely, was Peter's best friend. Peter loved Jesus, and it could be said that they were some of the closest friends on earth. Now, after Jesus' death and resurrection at the beginning of the church age, Peter became one of the most influential Christian leaders in the world. We know this because whenever the apostles are listed in the New Testament, Peter is always the first one listed. And so we can assume from that he had a very strong leadership position within the early church. Perhaps the leader of the apostles. The leader of the church. And so Peter not only was a disciple of Jesus, a close friend of Jesus, experienced the miracles and ministry and teachings of Jesus, but after Jesus ascended to heaven, he was an apostle and the leader of the church. During the book of Acts, we read that Peter preached bold messages. And he was passionate about the things of Christ. We read that he healed the sick. That he exorcised demons. And people would travel miles away to be near him. It was even thought that if you could just sit in his shadow, you would be healed as he passed by. Peter was a man whom God used in a great way. But before all of that prominence, all of that leadership that Peter stepped into, we read that Peter was first a humble fisherman. He and his brother Andrew made their living on a boat, casting nets into the Sea of Galilee, catching fish for the villages around. He was not educated in the greatest of seminaries like the Apostle Paul was. He was a simple fisherman. He didn't have a high standing in society like perhaps Matthew did. He was a simple fisherman, trying to provide for his family. And from my recollection, I believe he's the only disciple who is mentioned to be married. So this is Peter, a guy like you and me, earning a humble living, doing their best with the family, trying to provide for their family. However, his life changed immediately when he met Jesus Christ. Jesus challenged him to leave his life of fish and nets and boats aside, and for 3 years to follow Christ. So Peter did. Peter was a man of tremendous faith. And so he just took that step of faith and immediately followed Jesus. Brother Andrew followed along. And when we read about Peter in the Gospels, from the moment he followed Jesus, we read about a man who lived his life with passion and boldness. He was the disciple who left his family behind in order to follow Jesus. He was the only one who walked out upon water toward Jesus, and for a mere moment showed tremendous faith walking upon the water as if it was dry land. No other disciple did that. But Peter did, trusting in Jesus Christ. He was the first to acknowledge Jesus as the Messiah, the Son of God. And like many of us, he leaped wholeheartedly into that which he was passionate about, which was following Jesus. And it led him to do some pretty crazy things, such as the night Jesus was arrested in the garden, it was Peter who grabbed a sword and cut the ear off of one of the Roman centurions, or one of the guards who was there to arrest Jesus. It was Peter who did that. The other disciples weren't sure what was going on. Peter defended his Savior. However, with that passion and boldness sort of came a speak before thinking mentality. I heard a pastor one time say that Peter was the one who had the foot-shaped mouth, because he was constantly putting his foot in his mouth from saying things that weren't well thought out. He was, as I said, a man of boldness and passion, and oftentimes he didn't think before he spoke. He was the disciple that Jesus looked at and said, "Get behind me, Satan." He was also the disciple whom, at the moment he was fearing for his life, denied he ever knew Christ. He lived in each moment. And in the moment, he wasn't sure how to respond. And so, without thinking, he responded, "No, I do not know Jesus. I don't know the man." I think this is why we relate to Peter, perhaps most out of all the disciples. Because he had his tremendous highs of faith. A man who walked on water. A man who acknowledged Jesus as the Son of God. But then he had his tremendous lows. As he not only recognized Jesus as the Son of God, but then he would later deny Christ. Which most exemplifies our lives. Those with highs and lows in our relationship with Jesus. And so we relate to Peter. I also believe, because of this life that Peter lived on the pages of Scripture for all to read about, it also is why he is known as the Apostle of Hope. Paul, the Apostle of Faith. John, the Apostle of Love. Peter, the Apostle of Hope. You see, within the very moments of Peter's life, we see the hope that Jesus gives, shining light upon the moments of darkness within our lives. His, Peter's, is a story of forgiveness and redemption. So is mine. If you've placed your faith in Jesus Christ, so is yours. That's why we relate to Peter. Now, if we continue to follow Peter, we realize that he ministered and pastored the church in Jerusalem, evangelizing both Jew and Gentile for roughly 30 years. Around 64 AD, church tradition tells us that Peter died at the hands of Emperor Nero, who would become one of the greatest persecutors the church has ever seen. Church tradition also tells us that Peter, so passionately in love with Christ and the church, refused to be crucified the way Christ was. That when he found out he was to die by being crucified, he begged to be crucified upside down, because he wasn't worthy to be crucified like Christ. Now that's church tradition. It's not talked about in Scripture. But what it does highlight is the passion that this man who wrote this letter lived as he followed hard after Christ. So that's Peter. 64 AD, he died. He wrote this letter to the church just a few years before that. It's one of the last things he did in his ministry, was writing 1st and 2nd Peter. So we know the author. What about the setting? Verses 2 through 3 read, "To those who would reside as aliens scattered throughout the region." Scattered throughout Pontus, Galatia, Cappadocia, Asia, Bithynia. These believers, we know they're believers because these are ones who are chosen according to the foreknowledge of God the Father by the sanctifying work of the Spirit to obey Jesus Christ and be sprinkled in His blood. Those are who Peter's writing to. The scattered church among this region, who are scattered for a reason. In fact, he calls them aliens. To us, aliens may mean something different than what it meant back in this word that Peter uses. It's a word that literally means strangers or foreigners. And I believe it can be correctly assumed that these believers were chased out of their homes, that the church was just beginning to be persecuted in a heavy way by Emperor Nero. Emperor Nero, as I mentioned before, would go down in history as being one of the greatest persecutors of the church. He hated Christians. He hated those who followed in the way of the Lord. He would round up Christians. And history tells us he would light them on fire to light his parties at night. He would wrap them in the skins of an animal, throw them in the Colosseum, and thousands of people would cheer on the death of these believers who were wrapped in skins, and they would release starving lions to devour them as a spectacle. This is Nero. This is who was emperor when Peter wrote this letter. This is what the Christians were experiencing. It was the beginning of this wave of persecution that the church was to undergo at the hands of Emperor Nero. For this reason, they were scattered. They were hiding. They were fearing for their lives. And Peter is writing to these aliens, these strangers in a land that is not their own anymore, living in a world that didn't look like it used to just a few years previously. Peter's writing to them to give hope to these believers, to give strength to these believers who are being persecuted. Now in America, we don't experience that kind of persecution. There is persecution in America. In fact, it's growing. And we'll talk a little bit on that a little later as we look at this theme and purpose of this book. But in America, we don't experience that. However, there are places around the world that Christians do experience this kind of hatred, this kind of persecution, where they are being rounded up and beheaded and shot and killed. Persecution is happening in the world today, and America is experiencing some of it right now. It will only get worse. So this letter that Peter is writing to the scattered strangers in a foreign land to give hope, this letter is very relevant today. Very practical for today as we likewise are strangers in a foreign land. We are in the world, but not of the world. This world is not our home. We're just passing through, passing by. So for this reason, as we are going to pour into and across every word of this apostle of hope, in order to bring to our hearts the understanding of the living hope we have in Jesus Christ to strengthen us in each day of our lives as we experience some of this persecution as we stand firm on our faith. So that leads us directly into the themes and purposes of this letter. There are really two themes that seem to come across nearly every page of this letter, every sentence and every paragraph. Two prominent themes. The first being that there is great hope to be had and offered to believers within a hostile world. And the second theme being instructions on how to live within that persecuted world. Instructions on how to live in the hope we have in Christ while suffering, while going through trials. And so let me take a few moments to just highlight some of these verses throughout these five chapters in 1 Peter. We're going to look first at the first theme, which is that there is hope within a hostile world. And we'll read through these passages. Now, I do not have the passages word for word up there. In fact, what I have is my summary. That's my commentary on those verses. We'll dig into those verses each time when we arrive there. We'll look into them and dig even more truth out of them. But what I want you to do is I want you to grab your Bible and just flip. We'll just together go through these verses and I'll read them for you, and then I'll give you my commentary, short little commentary on that verse, and then we'll flip to the next one and you'll see these themes shine through these verses. And the first being there is hope within a hostile world. 1 Peter verses 3 through 7 says, "Blessed be the God and Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, who according to his great mercy has caused us to be born again to a living hope through the resurrection of Jesus Christ from the dead, to obtain an inheritance which is imperishable and undefiled and will not fade away, reserved in heaven for you, who are protected by the power of God through faith for a salvation ready to be revealed in the last time. In this you greatly rejoice, even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials, so that the proof of your faith, being more precious than gold, which is perishable, even though tested by fire, may be found to result in praise and glory and honor at the revelation of Jesus Christ." So here we see that even in the midst of suffering, he says in verse 6, "Even though now for a little while, if necessary, you have been distressed by various trials." In the midst of suffering and various trials, we are reminded of the living hope found in Jesus Christ and of the imperishable or eternal purpose for that suffering, for those scars you may bear. Verse 7, "So that the proof of your faith may be found to result in praise and glory and honor in the revelation of Jesus Christ." So that in your suffering, while you live faithfully and with hope, the world may see this and you may point them to Christ. There is purpose for our suffering. There is purpose for our trials. So that we may point the world to the living hope found in Jesus Christ. 1 Peter 1, 3 through 7. Now if we flip over a page, 1 Peter 2, 4 through 5. It reads, "And coming to him as to a living stone, which has been rejected by men, but is choice and precious in the sight of God, you also, as living stones, are being built up as a spiritual house for a holy priesthood, to offer up spiritual sacrifices acceptable to God through Jesus Christ." Like Jesus, we can expect to be rejected by men. He was rejected by men as the living stone, rejected by men. Also, likewise, we should expect that. But know that our lives in obedience through suffering is precious in the sight of God and is an offering of worship acceptable to God through Jesus Christ. There's hope to be had in a hostile world. Flip over to 1 Peter 3 now. Basically, we're taking a verse out of every chapter that talks about this theme. 1 Peter 3, verses 14 through 15. It reads, "But even if you should suffer for the sake of righteousness, you are blessed. Do not fear their intimidation and do not be troubled, but sanctify Christ as Lord in your hearts, always being ready to make a defense to everyone who asks you to give an account for the hope that is in you, yet with gentleness and reverence." Like we learn from Jesus, we need to let our hope shine through in the midst of difficult times. And when asked how this is possible, how it's possible to have hope in difficult times, when questioned about our testimony, we are to point them to our faith in Christ. And yet, interestingly enough, Paul adds, with gentleness and reverence. You see, our natural response to someone persecuting us is to respond in anger and bitterness. And Paul reminds us that your suffering has purpose. Is to point people to Christ. So be ready to give an answer in a gentle and reverent or serious way. 1 Peter 4, 12 through 13 says, "Beloved, do not be surprised at the fiery ordeal among you, which comes upon you for your testing, as though some strange thing were happening to you. But to the degree that you share the sufferings of Christ, keep on rejoicing, so that also at the revelation of His glory, you may rejoice with exultation." Stay the course. Continue in your faithful living. It's possible to rejoice in the midst of suffering and difficulty because you know that your suffering is due to the fact that you are faithful to Christ. So continue on being faithful to the end. 1 Peter 5, 6 through 7 says, "Therefore humble yourselves under the mighty hand of God, that He may exalt you at the proper time, casting all your anxiety on Him because He cares for you." You are not alone when you go through difficult times and are overwhelmed with anxiousness. During those times, remember to rest in His presence and His provision. So we have five chapters that constantly remind the scattered, persecuted church going through difficult times, the believer going through trials and difficulties and suffering, reminds them that they have hope in Jesus Christ. To stay faithful. To stay the course. Now we have a second theme that we come across. And this theme is somewhat more of a practical theme. It talks about Christian living as foreigners in this world. 1 Peter 1:22. If you flip back. So since you have, in obedience to the truth, purified your souls for a sincere love of the brethren, fervently love one another from the heart. You see, what happens when we go through trials and difficulties is we often turn on one another. What happens is when I'm going through something difficult, my patience is very limited. Just ask my children. Right? Any of you who are parents or have ever had a parent, which is all of us, right? When dad had a bad day at work, he came home, and his patience sort of small. He didn't always have the best patience. If I have a bad day at work, which I never do, by the way, because I only work one day a week. It's really a dream job. But if I have a bad day at work and I come home, and I'm just frustrated with what my day held, sometimes my sinful nature shows through. And my children begin to realize to not cross Dad today. Keep your distance from Dad. He had a bad day. And if you say something that he normally wouldn't snap at, he's snapping at. That's what happens when we go through difficult times. We snap at each other. And what Peter's reminding them is, hey, when you're going through difficult times, you are being persecuted, church. When you are strangers and aliens in a hostile world, continue to love one another. Don't turn on each other. Love one another. May it be authentic. May it be genuine, your love for one another. He then continues on in 1 Peter 2, verse 11. He says, "Beloved, I urge you as aliens and strangers to abstain from fleshly lusts which wage war against the soul." Another area of Christian living is while you're suffering, while you are having your defenses beat down, don't give in to your lusts. Don't give in to your sinful desires and your nature. Don't give in to the lust that the world offers and that the flesh wants. Stay faithful in the midst of suffering. Don't put down your defenses. Remain pure. He then continues in 1 Peter 3, 1 through 8, and we won't read all of it. We will read a few verses here and a few verses there. 1 through 8 of 1 Peter 3, it begins by saying, "In the same way, you wives, be submissive to your own husbands, so that even if any of them are disobedient to the word, they may be won without a word by the behavior of their wives." All right, then he continues on in verse 7 and 8. He talks about husbands. "You husbands, in the same way, live with your wives in an understanding way as with someone weaker, since she is a woman. Show her honor as a fellow heir of the grace of life, so that your prayers will not be hindered." Your relationship to your spouse, your marriage, is to be a testimony, testifying to God's grace and goodness. And your marriage can do a great service to the furtherance of the gospel message, or a great disservice to it. So Paul in chapter 3, he's going to talk about in the midst of suffering, in the midst of trials, in the midst of difficulties, protect your marriage. Husbands, treat your wives like you should. Wives, treat your husbands like you should. Continue to grow. As you grow closer to Christ, continue to grow together as husband and wife. Peter then continues on, moving from marriage to the church. 1 Peter 4:10. We touched on this actually when we looked at the stewardship of talents and gifts. 1 Peter 4:10 reads, "As each one has received a special gift, employ it in serving one another as good stewards of the manifold grace of God." We've been given so much from God. Be thankful for it. Use that which the Lord has gifted you with, blessed you with, to serve one another as good stewards of God's grace. And then finally, we read in 1 Peter 5:8, to be of sober mind or sober spirit or self-controlled, to be on the alert, because our adversary, the devil, prowls around like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Don't take light the plans of the devil. Rather, be under control and alert for his attacks. So there's a lot here. There's a lot of very practical things as Christians living in a hostile world for us to take in and apply to our lives. And then there's a lot of encouragement and truth as we look at our relationship with our Savior during difficult times. Now, I'm pretty sure if I were to do a poll and ask you the question, how many of you are going through difficult times? Every single one of you would say yes, to some degree or another. Simply living on this world is difficult. No matter how old you are, whether you're young or a teenager or someone as old as me, or even maybe a year older, like the rest of you. Times are difficult. Where do we find hope? Where do we find inspiration to continue putting one foot in front of the other? Where do we find strength? We find it in the truth of God's Word. And so this letter, written to those who are in difficult times, really relevant to us. Because we all are going through difficult times. So there's much for us in this letter. And I'm very excited to be going through this book. It's interesting because every time we start a new study in a book, it ends up being my favorite. This week I got to read all 105 verses of 1 Peter. And by the way, I would challenge you to do that. This week, 105 verses. It's not too long. It took me 30 minutes. So you say, you know what? I don't have 30 minutes in one day because I am zoom, zoom, zoom all over the place. And so I don't have 30 minutes of one day. But I've got 7 minutes. Well, read a chapter. You'll read it less than 7 minutes. Continue on reading and reading and reading. 105 verses. Peter wrote to the persecuted church. And join me on this exciting adventure through God's Word. May we be encouraged in this study. Through the messenger of hope in a hostile and lost world. Would you pray with me? Father, I pray, Lord, that your word would reach our hearts this morning, this week. Father, I know so many of the difficulties that my family is going through here, Lord, at church. And yet, Father, there's so much I don't know, so much I'm unaware of. So, Father, may the words of 1 Peter, may the words that the Apostle of Hope wrote bring us encouragement, point us to the truth of Jesus Christ and His death and resurrection. May they help us understand how we are to live in the midst of this foreign land, this hostile world. And Father, may we, through our study of your word and faithful application of it, may we point others to Christ. Father, because what we are suffering right now in this world is nothing in comparison to what those will suffer who do not know Jesus Christ. And so, Father, may we point people to Jesus and may people come to know Him as their Savior because of our testimonies and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.